The Soul of Jazz with Jamal Ahmed. That was brand new music coming from Miss Ndiaye from her latest LP, Songversation. And she called that one Brother's Keeper. And you know what? I am very blessed right now to be joined by Miss Ndiaye. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
It's a blessing to see you.
You too. Yes. I'm excited.
Yes, I am too. I am too. And I'm really excited about this new project and what it holds for you in the future, because when I heard it initially, what I heard about it and how it came to be, because I remember you were working on something else before that and then you kind of pushed that to the side and started on this.
Yeah.
And this came together kind of quickly.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
I don't know if a person who doesn't make albums will really understand, but for me, I spent 2 years on my first album, 3 on my second one, 3 on my third, 2 on my fourth. I did this one in 7 months.
Wow.
So,
do you think that helped?
I think it helped me in a lot of ways, actually. I think because I didn't give myself time to think a bunch about the songs. I just did them and let it be what it was. But it also helped me to see myself and how much I had grown as a musician and a producer, that I could just express myself in the studio and be clear about what I want and get it. And when I wasn't getting what I want, take it somewhere else and get it together. And, you know, it was still, I don't want to make it sound like 7 months was 7 months, just 5 hours a day, because it was all day, all night for 7 months. We even went to Turkey and I did some stuff in L.A. We could talk more about the Turkish stuff in a second.
Right.
But I picked up one night and just was just missing something for the album. And I just picked up one night, the next day just flew to L.A. and did this other stuff. It was tumultuous in a good way, though, this time. And I don't know, it taught me how much I've grown. This album, Songversation, means a lot to me, not just because of the songs, which the songs always mean everything, but it means a lot to me because it was hard won, and it showed me how much I've grown over the last 12 years. So it helped me as a person in so many ways, but it also helped to not just be thinking about the songs so hard.
Right.
Which I realized I don't have to do, because that's really a place of fear. When you're just trying to make everything perfect and there is no such thing as perfect, that's fear. So I was able to let that go, too. I hope I can do it next time.
You know, what is there, an old saying where they say, never allow perfect be the enemy of the good.
Ooh.
And I think that kind of is the summation of what you just said.
I think so.
You know, I want to talk about the two aspects of this record that I really enjoy, being the sonic aspect of the record and the song aspect of the record. And I want to talk about the songs because, and you were just talking about growing. There is a level of maturity that I hear in your songwriting, that where you almost now, and you're getting to this point where you're writing these songs that have this folk kind of energy that you heard from Bob Marley or Bob Dylan or even Stevie Wonder, where they connect with so many different people through their songs.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel that growth when you were putting this record together?
First of all, thank you for saying that. That's freaking amazing. First of all. Having known you so many years, you know that I was always a folk artist. And when I started putting out albums, I was pushed. I mean, I allowed myself to be pushed in more commercial directions. It was still my choice. And so then a lot of what I was meaning to grow into got lost in that process. That's why I took so many years off between my fourth album and this fifth one, because I needed to catch up with myself. And I had this conversation about where I was going to be in 10 years and that I wouldn't be able to blame anybody if I wasn't making the right decisions for me. And so I think that's where that I feel like I took time off, went away from the public eye, and caught up with where I was meant to be as a songwriter. And so there was like that jump that you see. And so I don't see it the way that you just said it. But I know that these songs feel more natural to me. So when I'm singing them, I get lost in it. It's not like the drums are too loud or there's something about it that's not working for me as a person on an aesthetic level. It just all works for me. So I get that feeling on stage that I'm in the right place. You know, just when I'm on stage, I'm in the right place. But I don't hear it the way that you do. But to have it reflected back from you after knowing me for so long means a lot, because this is really where I want to be. And I honestly want to go further in that direction. And a lot of the things I'm writing now is just going further and further in that direction of wanting to be Joni Mitchell and Stevie Wonder and James Taylor all mixed up.
So, I mean, when I listen to this record, and I listen to all of your music, I always get that strong healing energy from it. There's something about your songs that speak to so many different people, and they almost serve as like these hands that touch people and help them in a in a different way for all their issues.
Thank you.
But there's also, I love this kind of spiritual, fulfilling energy that I get from this record. And it went to it in particular one, where you say, millions live their lives that Muhammad, Krishna, or the Buddha are the way. And some believe it's right to say in the name of Jesus when you pray.
We are a humankind of 7 billion, so many different races and religions, but it all comes down to one.
I mean, and that right there is so powerful because we live in a world that's full of dogma in so many places. Mm-hmm. But everything can kind of be stripped down and made simple.
When you give up the need to be right, like I say in that song, just let people be who they are. I think that my spiritual life is the center of my life, which is the case for a lot of us. And allowing myself to let those things be said in my songs are a part of my maturing process. Because, you know, it's not really considered commercial for a young Black artist to say things like that. But I'm more attached. I'm not attached to that. I am driven by wanting to do what I know is in my heart. Because like I keep saying, 10 years from now, where will I be? And those are all going to be up to my choices. You know, the choices you make every day make you who you are today. Mm. And so 10 years from now, where will I be? And I want to know that I said and did and went and sang and spoke everything that I was supposed to speak. And I say this sometimes from stage when I'm explaining to... So my performance style is called Songversation because I always have a lot to say and to sing. And I got tired of putting myself in that position where I felt like I had to hurry up and say it. So like they say, if you build it, they will come. Mm. So I say, come see me in Songversation. Songversation Detroit. Songversation Atlanta. And it's worked for me. Mm. Because the audience knows what they're coming to see. And from the stage, when I explain to them why Songversation, I always say there are a lot of things. There's never anything that I said in a song that I didn't want to say, ever. I didn't want to do the Akon record, but it worked on a commercial level. But there's never anything that I said that I didn't want to say. But there are a lot of things that I wanted to say that I didn't say. And so that song one has kind of everything all in one song. But you hear a lot of that on Songversation, like Brother's Keeper and Little I Am Light. Moved by you, just things that I want to say.
Yeah, yeah. And so. And it's so, I mean, first of all, I mean, there's so much I want to talk to you about, but if you're just tuning in with speaking with Miss Indy Ari and we're talking about her brand new album, Songversation, I want to talk about Turkey because sonically, and when we talk about that concept of one, you're kind of getting into like a Eastern feeling. Mm-hmm. And even like when I hear I Am Light and the beginning of the song is almost like a mantra where you keep saying the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. Talk about working in Turkey and getting that Eastern energy on this project, which is, you know, essentially a Western record.
Right. Well, it goes back to the project you referenced, the one that I was doing before this that I put to the side. That album, it was called Open Door. That album was very, very Eastern. I was singing in Hebrew. We had a half Israeli, half American band. It was very Eastern. And I wasn't trying to make a Eastern meets West record. I met a musician that I was inspired by, and so I did this album with him. The reason why I shelved it is because we couldn't agree on the business side. The creative side was perfect for me. It was perfect. It touched my heart. It gave me room to express my intellectual capacity. And like singing in Hebrew was so fun because it was like my brain and my body and my throat and my mind and everything was engaged. It was so, so fun. And then the melodies were amazing. It didn't matter if it was in Hebrew because we went on tours and the audience would be pin drop quiet and they would kind of just, we got a standing ovation every night. Even me singing in Hebrew, we got a standing ovation every night. So it connected. Anyway, that was my own little thing. That aside, when I got ready to do Songversation, the reason why I did more of the, that album Open Door was based in Israel. This one is based in Turkey. And I did it again because there was a person that I met. I met this woman, Sezen Aksu, walking in the village in New York, random. We were just going in and out of the same stores, and we started talking. And she told me that her favorite song right now was this song by Stevie Wonder. She started humming A Time to Love. And I said, that's me. And she got chills, and she started crying, and she called her son. He was in school in Paris, and we became friends. The next day, she came to my show and bought me her box set, which was like 30 CDs. And I was like, well, who is she? I couldn't imagine that someone that big... that was someone we just didn't know at all, but you know, the world is big. So it turns out she was Sezen Aksu, who's Turkey's most influential star. Someone called her Bob Marley meets Celine Dion because she developed the sound of modern Turkish music. She developed it. Right. So she's this amazing woman. I call her my Turkish mom because she's very nurturing with me. And I've been to Turkey twice. So when Open Door crashed, I don't want to make it sound like I just put it to the side. I was devastated. But I got over it quickly because I knew that I had to, because I had been going through all this personal transformation and wanting to be back with people again. I needed music to be with people. So I just pulled it together and started working on a new album. And I emailed Sezen Aksu. I told her what was going on, that the album wasn't coming out, that I was working on a new one. And would she help me? Because I wanted to work with her anyway, because she's who she is to me. She's who she is in the world, and she's who she is to me. And she said, she made me cry. She said, anything my India is doing, I'm in. And that was after a big, big struggle with Open Door. I mean, we were going back and forth with lawyers for months, and it was making me sick. My face was breaking out. I was having an ulcer. Like, I got sick from it because I just wanted this music so bad. But I had to learn a lesson about letting go and how you never know what's there for you when you do. And so that's another reason, like, I was trying to say everything why Songversation means so much to me. And there's so much behind it, you know what I mean? But I learned a lot of lessons, and Songversation is like my reward. So that Turkish element, she said, come now. She said, come now. Like, I mean, of course, it's easy for her to say. She flies, you know, private. But we picked up and went now. And we were in Turkey, and we got strings and percussion and guitars and all these Turkish flutes and everything for every song in 4 days.
Wow.
It was just so, it flowed. It was effortless almost, like in that way. I mean, we were working. We spent long hours, but it didn't feel forced or hard. It felt like what I was supposed to be doing, and that's how I gauge things. So I guess I said all that to say who Sezen Aksu is, and that's another reason why this album is called Songversation, because there's the West meets the East, right. Songversation. But also, I really want to make it clear that I wasn't trying to, it wasn't a concept. It was just, I travel the world, and I used to be in this box where I couldn't integrate the things that I was experiencing in my travels, because I was told I had to be this kind of certain artist. And now, learning how to integrate it, I feel free of that box, because the next thing I do, I'm going to figure it out again. And I'm going to keep figuring it out, because whoever I meet that I want to work with, I'm going to do it if my heart tells me to.
Right.
Or I'm going to be having an ulcer, and I'm going to be having all these issues. And, you know, so the Turkish element, some of it's subtle and some of it's more blatant, like as you hear on like Flowers, or which is one of my favorites.
Well, you know, you know what? I think you stopped at a certain point, because at a perfect point, because that's what I want to go into right now, because I think that tune really is one of the best examples of that concept of East meets West.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the strings, they almost sound like something's being squeezed, like
yes.
They how they play it. And then it has probably, in my opinion, one of the prettiest clarinet solos I've heard.
Have you ever heard anything like that?
In my life.
I never heard anything like that. When the guy was playing it, we were just looking at him with our mouth open. We literally had our mouths open. And
yeah.
He came in from the booth, and I just hugged him. And he didn't speak English, really. He just laughed and laughed, and I did not let his neck go. Because I had to make the point that you touched me.
Yeah.
And it was really also, another thing I think is beautiful about Flowers is some of the words are about Sezen and how she helped me to heal from the brokenness of Open Door. So it's that thing on a couple levels.
Well, this is NDIRE and Flowers right here on The Soul of Jazz.
The world can be so cold, but you are always warm. When my back is tired, you take me in your arms. You're the moral compass directing me to light. Of the person that you are, in celebration of your heart. That's why I wanna give you your flowers now. That's why I wanna give you your covering my heart of glass. You're the reason I know that this too shall pass. largest human being that you are, for helping me accept my scars. That's why I wanna give you your flowers now. That's why I wanna give you your flowers now. I offer they brighten your life the same. My world had blown away and you are all that's left. You took the needle from the center of my chest. For the gorgeous human being that you are, for showing me I am a star. That's why I wanna give you your flowers.
Soul of Jazz with Jamal Ahmed. Brand new music from NDIRE and Flowers from her latest LP, Songversation. Every time I hear that tune, my neck can't stay still. Like, I do that kind of Michael Jackson side of the neck thing. I mean, I just can't. I try, but I just can't. But, you know, I want to also, because, I mean, like I said, the record has some really powerful songs, and you've reached a very, almost, I mean, I think you've been very open in your entire career. But it's a new type of openness that I hear on this particular record. And a tune in particular that really struck me in how it was written, the style, how you sang it. And the message, of course, was Life I Know.
I knew you were going to say that.
That is just a powerful number. I mean, I mean, just these lines right here where you say, all my friends are having families of their own. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting for the perfect one to come. Almost four decades in.
If I'm blessed, then I've got five more to go. But this is the life I know.
Wow. And then you say, sometimes it hurts like hell, but I walk away with a song and a story to tell. I thought that was very, very powerful.
Thank you.
Because it seems like you channel everything. No matter what happens to you in life, you can turn it into something that helps someone or even helps you. Talk about that.
Well, addressing the last thing you said, that's the beauty of being a musician. I was about to say magician. It is in that way a certain magic of transmuting an emotion or a feeling into something tangible. There's a magic in it, but that's the beauty of being a musician. You have an outlet for all of your stuff, and you choose as a musician whether or not you're going to put it in there. There are songs I've written that I just did for myself and nobody ever heard them, may never hear, I don't know. But this time, I don't know if you, I mean, you're you, so you probably did look closely at the credits, but I did that with David Ryan Harris.
Can you talk about working with him? And I really was so happy when I saw his names in the credits, because I've been a fan of his for a long time. I mean, even early 90s, work with Follow For Now, Dion Ferris, and now John Mayer. What was it like working? Because it's almost like you guys are kindred spirits.
It's funny that you would say that, because I wanted to be him. I saw him with Dion Ferris, and I wanted to be him. Because it was like he's singing a soulful style, and he's playing guitar, and it's folk, and it has that soul too. Like, all I'm being literal. I wanted to be able to do what he did, and still today, I feel like he's the best at that in the world. Just like a person who can sit and sing and play guitar and the lyrics and the way he sings and the way he plays. He's the best at that in the world. And sometimes the most famous is not the best. He's the best for me and for a lot of people I know. And I always wanted to work with him. I tried to make it happen over the years. And I realized now that I wasn't ready because he is at a different level of professionalism and skill. So, you know, I was a kid and, you know, trying to write songs and I guess I wasn't ready. But when we got together for this, he heard the song I did, Sixth Avenue. And he said, this is some of the best songwriting I've ever heard. I need to work with you. So when he asked me, I was like, all right, it's time. I'm going to get to work with my hero.
And that was the song you wrote for the, it was like a tribute, right?
Yeah, I wrote it for out of experience.
Right.
But it was perfectly timed with Sandy, Hurricane Sandy. And then we did Black Girls Rock, and it was airing right during that era. So, you know, God does that, though. But with David, we had a five-hour conversation about, it's so funny. Now I'm remembering this. We talked for 5 hours, and then I was like, I got it. And he struck a chord that literally struck a chord on the guitar, and it was like, it gave him a certain feeling. Like, he was like, oh, I'm on to something. And I said, well, you play. And I'm going to write. This is after our five-hour conversation about Joni Mitchell and what she means and how sometimes her songs are just a journal entry and sometimes they don't even rhyme and what Stevie Wonder means and what those elements are that I love and all of them and what Stevie Wonder brings. And we had this whole conversation. We had a conversation about my life and where I was and about Open Door and it being put away and about my health issues stemming from all the stress. And we had a whole conversation about everything. So we struck this chord and I said, I'm going to write a journal entry because I write journal like obsessively and I can journal anytime, any moment. I write journals. That's what I do. I write songs and I just write. So I wrote this journal entry, not even aware that I would let him hear it or anything. I just wrote what I was feeling after our conversation. And I said, I'm going to sing this to you. I read it to myself and I said, oh my God, this is sad. This is sad. I didn't know I felt this way. And so I said, I'm going to sing it to you, but I don't want you to do anything. Just let me sing it. So I started singing the words and he started crying. And he said, you need to stop. That was his word, you need to stop. And he was like, I'm leaving. You record this tonight, I'll be back tomorrow. So I recorded it. We talked for 5 hours, we wrote for 30 minutes. And he left. By the time he got home, I had it written. And it's beautiful too, because I cried for 3 days after that. And because I guess I just needed to, like I say, I needed to admit it to myself. I say that in the song. And once I did, I was okay. But I realized then from there, I've been able to, now that we're having a whole other conversation, but I've been able to unpack that whole conversation with myself and the sacrifices I've made as a woman to have a career like this. And, you know, like now looking up and being in my 30s, I'm like, oh, shoot, like some of the things that people are doing, I don't do, but some of the things I do, people don't do. So I've been able to unpack that and see the beauty in all of it. And so life, I know it does come out of a new vulnerability and openness, but it also comes out of a new maturity and ability to see myself, and also that muscle I have now because I spent the last 4 years really immersed in my spiritual life and, you know, looking at myself honestly. And so I can get there quicker with things. Like, I can just get there quicker with things. So I look forward to more songs like Life I Know, really. And I always know that I'm meeting someone who is kindred when a woman, when she points that song out. Because it's been happening. The people are like, where did that come from? Where did Life I Know come from? And what is that? And then similar conversation about Break the Shell.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I want to, you mentioned something and it was so spiritual because I was already thinking it. You said something about Sixth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying how you wrote that song and it just happened to fit the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always seen that as the mark of a great artist, mm-hmm. like an artist who can write this song and it's applicable to something that just happens way after it.
Mm-hmm.
I look at Brother's Keeper, the song that we started the interview with,
mm-hmm.
And I think about what just happened with the whole Trayvon Martin situation. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that song after the verdict, it mm-hmm. sounded totally different.
Mm. I know we're running out of time, but I have to tell you this. I'd rather be late to my next thing than not to tell you this. Well, in the beginning of our interview, you said it's like my music has those healing hands, and I can, you know, I don't know how to make that happen. I just know that that's what I pray for with my music. Literally, I literally pray that intention into every song. I pray for every song, and that's one of the things I always ask for, that God will touch people with it the way He wants them to be touched. I always do. And so with, I can only say thank you to that. So thank you for saying that. With Brother's Keeper and Trayvon Martin, Stevie Wonder called me. Okay, so we were in D.C. for the Delta's 100th anniversary. And I was on stage, and so the show became something different because this thing happened, and it was like, so this is all for Trayvon. This is for his mom. This is for his dad. This is for us, and this is for the pain we're feeling. So every song I chose was to speak to that the best I could. And so we closed the show with Brother's Keeper, and it was just the solidarity in the room. It was like 17,000 people or something. It was a big arena. And so the solidarity felt amazing. And, you know, everybody was saying, yes, I am. Like, the whole audience was clapping and saying, yes, I am. It was beautiful. Mm. And so the next day on the way to the airport, Stevie Wonder called. And, I mean, you know, I was at the airport. So I was like, I can't pick up the phone. We're about to go through security. They don't care if it's Stevie Wonder. I need to put my phone down. But I thought I would rather miss my flight than to miss this call. So I picked up the call, and he said that he wanted to tell me how proud he was of me for the song Brother's Keeper, for how it's current in the moment. But he also said it's a beautiful thing to hear a woman say she's willing to accept a man's issues. And he said it's also like saying you're a woman who understands how much power you have. And he said it's also like saying that you understand that men are not here to save you, that they're human, that they're here for you. You know, they're human too. And every woman's looking for a savior is kind of how we're socialized. And then you realize that's not what this is. We're here to be with each other and to help each other to grow. And so he said a lot. You know, Stevie has that way of saying things in a high spiritual way that are very tangible. He said a lot, and it made me feel like that was the moment. This was just 2 days ago. That was the moment that I felt like I had crossed over into a new level as an artist. That was the moment when I felt like that. And he said that Songversation was his favorite thing out right now, because it counters all the, he talked about reality TV and the stuff that's going on, and that Songversation wasn't just beautiful, that it was needed. And he talked about different song titles. And this is just a shameless plug. There's a song on there called Nothing I Love More Than You. And you know I love Shannon Sanders.
Yes,
we did have this album together. Mm-hmm. He said, who was that singing on Nothing I Love More Than You? And I said, people keep asking me if it's you, but it's my friend Shannon Sanders. We've done a lot of my records over the years. And he said, tell him that I said he did great. So obviously, next call was to Shannon, and he screamed, and we screamed, and we were happy about Brother's Keeper and Stevie Wonder and Songversation. And so that was the moment that I started feeling like this could be the next level for me. And I'm ready. I'm ready for the next level in life in general. So poetic that Songversation would feel that way to you. So thank you for saying that. And thank you for having me.
No, thank you, Indy. And we're going to get out of here. And I just want to, again, thank you for this wonderful record that is speaking to me in a new way.
Thank you.
And it's making me think more about so many things. But I want to ask you, as you play DJ right now.
Okay.
And I want you to go into the last tune.
Okay.
Pick a song off of the record that you want to end this interview with. And then why are you choosing that song?
Oh, man, I get chills every time I look at each song. Hmm. These songs mean so much to me. I would like to end this interview with Moved By You.
Moved By You.
I didn't think I was going to pick that.
Okay.
I love the lyrics. I think I took a chance to write a song in a different way.
Right.
And I feel like it worked. Oh, man. See, I have so much to say. I'm going to stop. But I want to choose Moved By You, and I dedicate it to you. And congratulations on everything that's happening. And I'm telling you, the same vision that you hold for me, I see the same thing for you. So many people are going to start to get what you do, and the excellence and the beauty and the way that you understand music. I see this. So everything you said to me, back to you, and Moved By You is for you.
And I'm holding on to that. Thank you, Ms.
And I'm holding on to yours. Thank you.
God bless you.
You too.
10,000 petal flower unfolding in this moment. I feel so vulnerable and so empowered. It's everything is nothing is perfect. Baptized.